Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
It's Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO on this Insight Wednesday, April the 13th in the year of our Lord 2016. I'm Tom Baker, your only host for today. Yesterday we had Mark Smith. Tomorrow we're having Wes Reimnitz. And what we're going to be talking about today, as I indicated in the promo, there are some insights in the Bible that we're not quite well aware of. And therefore, I kind of like to take some time and discuss them. Today, the subject is consequential sin. Consequential sin. What does that mean? Well, you could refer to it as the consequences of sin also. What do we mean by that? We believe, teach, and confess that God has certain natural laws that he put in place when he created the whole universe. For example, it doesn't matter how much faith you have. If you're on the third story of a building and you believe you can fly, and you really believe it, and you jump out of the window, guess what takes over? Gravity. You're not going to be able to fly. No, it doesn't matter how much faith you have. You see, faith only works when the object of faith is a promise from God. And there's nowhere in the Bible it says that we here on earth can just choose to fly if we have enough faith. Now, we also believe that in the moral realm, God has placed negative consequences when we break his natural laws. Natural laws, well, how about the Ten Commandments? Well, you see, there's a lot of people and a lot of religions that don't believe in the Ten Commandments, but they, by and large, have similar laws that correspond to the second table of the Ten Commandments, namely with our neighbor. Well, where do you know there is a culture where murder is okay? Where is there a culture where stealing is okay? So there are certain things in the second table of the law that is just natural understanding of the way things should be. Now, what got me thinking about this? I rarely watch a television show except for two reasons. If it's QVC or one of those, maybe I'm going to buy their product because they got some pretty good deals. I got a computer that had I gone to Best Buy, it would have cost me like $1,400 and I ended up paying $650 for it. And it was no postage due, postage free. Plus, I had 6 months to pay, just a little over $100 each day. Because I can't afford a new computer, but I'm able to save some money here and there, and $100 worked out pretty good, and I really needed this computer. In fact, I've already used it at some seminars. So, the other reason I watch TV is I'm always looking for law and gospel themes. I have saved many a movie. I put it on a DVD. Why? Because I use it at seminars to show people. And in the last couple of days, there were a few things I saw that got me thinking about the consequences of sin. One of the programs I watch is just simply called Jail. Every city, large city, has a jail that arrested people are taken to before they go to court, before they're sent to prison if they're found guilty. And I find it quite the show to watch as to how people react when they are arrested, they're inebriated, or they're on drugs, or they're just had a fight, or whatever. You can see a couple of things. The first thing, they always have an excuse. Oh, yeah, so it wasn't really my fault. They're all victims. The second thing is that for some reason they're blaming the police or the sheriff or whoever's taking care of them in jail. A few issues ago, broadcasts ago, there was an individual who had been arrested because he was driving his car inebriated and he hit someone. And they never said whether or not the person died, but they thought that the person would not live because he was so badly injured. So they brought this inebriated driver into the jail, and he was hysterical. It took three or four people to hold him down, and all he was saying was, God help me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. God help me. Please, God, help me. Again and again and again. Well, what they had to do, they have a chair that they can put you in where you're unable to move. And they put him in that chair because he was just really going bonkers. And as soon as he got in the chair, he said, please kill me. Kill me. Please kill me. Oftentimes, the sheriff or the warden or whoever's taking care of the prisoner will say a comment to the camera. And that particular episode ended with one of the sheriffs walking out of his room after he'd been put in the chair, and he said, now he understands why you ought not drive a car when you are drunk. And it suddenly, you know, struck me, well, what a good lesson that when you get sinful in the area of morality, bad things will happen to you because God builds that in to morality. In fact, I would go so far to say that the worst thing that can happen to you when you are immoral is nothing happens to you. I believe that kind of happened within Sodom and Gomorrah. The people became so immoral that what they once thought was wrong, they now thought was right. What they once thought was right, they now consider to be wrong. And that's happening in our country. There was a time when it would have been ludicrous for someone to say, yeah, it's okay to abort a baby in the womb, or gay marriage is what God wants. I just saw an advertisement for a book, How the Bible Supports Gay Marriage. I guarantee you that that book is going to twist the Bible into saying things it simply doesn't agree with. But back to consequential sin. I saw a movie recently. John Belushi was in it. And I almost turned it off because he was the crook. He was a corrupt policeman. And I didn't think, oh, I don't want to see him as a crook. The name of the movie is called Gang Related. And when I started looking at it, it wasn't long before I realized how much swearing went on. So there's a lot of swearing in the movie. If you don't like that, then let me just share with you what it was all about. It began with two men making a deal with a drug dealer. So they gave him drugs. He gave him some money. The next scene is the drug dealer is driving down the street and a car comes up to him and he is shot dead through the window. And when the people who shot him get out of the car, guess what? It's these two men who had just sold him drugs. The next scene is a police station. And guess who is assigned to check out why this man was murdered? These two men, John Belushi being one of them, who are police. They're corrupt police. And they're just saying, as long as we control this investigation, they'll never figure out we're the ones who shot him. They're called into their boss's office, and there's an individual from the FBI there. And they ask him, why are you here? He said, the gentleman who was killed, pretending to be a drug dealer, was an undercover cop. Wow. Talk about an unintended consequence. So the rest of the movie is how these two corrupt cops attempt to show that they were not the ones who shot him. And so they find three people. It's a really interesting scene. They're going to make them the ones who shot this undercover cop. They bring him into jail, and they push over to him a gun, and of course he picks it up. And so now they have his fingerprints on this gun. But then the first three people they check out, they all had a valid alibi on the night when this undercover policeman was killed. And so they're not getting anywhere. Finally, the Belushi character finds a homeless man. And he's really an alcoholic. And they decide that he is the one that they're going to bring before the court, saying he had shot him. So they put his fingerprints on the gun. And it is really fascinating how whatever they try doesn't seem to work. Because this homeless man is discovered to be a multimillionaire who became depressed after he had had an affair with a woman against his wife. His wife found out about it, and she went to drive away from the house with the children, leaving him, and was killed in a car accident only a mile from the house. And he became so depressed, he became homeless. He had a big beard on, and boy, you couldn't recognize him at all. Well, that was interesting because being a multimillionaire, they got one of the top lawyers. And they had the two corrupt cops told a woman to lie on the stand as a false witness saying that she had seen him. Well, it only took this good lawyer about 3 minutes to show that she was lying. But she said, no, I'm not going to tell you why I was lying. I don't know why I lied. Well, the two corrupt cops knew that she knew the true story. And therefore, she was arrested because of perjury. I mean, one thing after the other was happening to these guys. They couldn't do anything to fix it. So they decided to bail her out of jail for the purpose of killing her. And then things got really quite substantial as the two cops no longer trusted each other. And particularly Belushi even pointed a gun at his partner because his partner didn't want to kill the woman. One thing after the other. The whole movie is a great example of when you do something wrong and then you try to cover it up, wow, there are consequences of that sin. Belushi's character, it was really pretty good. I rate movies 1 to 10. I'd give this a 9, except for the swearing and stuff. But it was really well done, well acted. And he was a perfect example of an individual caught in their own lies. He said at one time, we just got to do what we got to do. And then when his partner was complaining that they shouldn't be killing these drug dealers, he said, drug dealers don't qualify as people. And then, of course, his partner reminded him that one of them was an undercover policeman. His partner finally said, I'm sick of it all. The other phrase that, if I heard it once, it was at least five times said by Belushi. And what was that? Every time they ran into a problem, he had a fix for it. And then he would always say, yeah, once this goes through, we will be off the hook. And we won't have to worry about anything. And of course, they attempted to do it, and they got even more on the hook. What's my point? We Christians are living in a society where we are just as sinful as anyone else. We sin by thought, word, and deed. We can't point the finger at somebody and say, oh, because of your sin, you are going to hell. Because we got at least three fingers pointing back to us when we point to someone. Therefore, that's why it says, judge not lest you yourselves be judged. And what God is not talking about, we have the right to judge whether somebody is sinning. We don't have the right to judge that they're going to go to hell for it. Because if we say they're going to go to hell because of their sin, then we're going to go to hell also. Because we're just as bad a sinner as anybody else. The distinction that Christianity makes, which, by the way, no other religion makes, is that we have a Savior who has forgiven our sins, and through faith given by the Holy Spirit, we trust those promises, which, guess what? Therefore, we're declared to be righteous. Just prior to my program, you might have heard of that missionary, so to speak, to the Mormons. It's just excellent. And what they were talking about is how you deal with Mormons. And one of the things, and I hadn't realized this as much as I should have, that he says you get into the thinking of the Mormons, and therefore you talk like they do. For example, they don't say, well, the Book of Mormon says, but rather, this is what my heart, what the Holy Spirit has revealed to me. And that's true about Christians. The Holy Spirit has revealed to us truth. It's just that we find it in the Bible. And I believe it was Hebrews 10 he was talking about, which has the Bible verse that full atonement has been made by none other than Jesus Christ. And the concept that he was bringing out that Mormons hardly ever have heard is that Jesus was our substitute. That is really fascinating that they've never heard of that, because they think they have to pay for their own sins. Normally, I don't take calls today, but let's go to this individual. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Good morning.
Who's this?
Jonathan.
Jonathan, how can I help you?
Oh, I didn't know this was online. I was wanting to get in touch with KFUO about volunteering for the Share-a-thon.
Oh, okay. I encourage you to call back in about a half an hour, and then they'll pick up the line there for you. I'm sorry. I thought he was going to be talking about this, but that's all right. Yeah, our main day for taking calls is Open Mic Friday, and we'll be glad to take calls. You can also email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com, and I'd be only too happy to address your question. But getting back to this, consequences of sin. God has built in consequences of sin. It is the law at work. It may be as obvious as you go over the speed limit and you're actually pulled over and you get a ticket. But other things happen. Have you ever seen a movie recently where a husband cheats on his wife and everything works out? No, it never happens. Those are the consequences of sin that God has built in to morality. We know women who have killed their baby in the womb. A number of them, after a few years, really start getting conscience pangs. They become depressed. And we can see that this happens to people. This is where we, as Christians, have the opportunity then to share with them the good message that any sin can be forgiven, because any sin has been forgiven from us. Consequences of sin are a part of the law at work. They accuse us of doing wrong. Whoever steals something and thinks it's okay, I'll tell you how they know it's not okay. They try and hide it. They don't put a sign up. Boy, I stole this car from the auto place. No, nobody ever does that. Why? Because they know it's wrong. And what happens, like in a marriage and the husband cheats on the wife, things start falling apart. In fact, recently you heard in the news that the mistress ended up shooting the wife because the husband wouldn't leave her and marry the mistress. This is what happens. And then when the mistress was arrested, guess what? She tried to explain, hey, I didn't do anything wrong. You know, I love him. No, when you truly love someone, you're willing to let them live their life even without you. What we Christians need to be aware of, and it's occurred in abortion, that more and more people are recognizing what God has said in the scripture, even though they may not believe the scripture. They're recognizing this is a human being. Similarly with gay marriage, we can be witnessing why that is an abomination before Almighty God, but we really don't need to do that very often, because these marriages will have terrible consequences to them. God never blesses something that is immoral. And so you ought not be surprised when you hear one gay marriage after another where the one partner is cheating on the other. I mean, they already are cheating before God. Certainly they're going to cheat on each other. Where divorce is occurring at a higher rate, and where people who live that kind of lifestyles are dying younger than the population as a whole. These are ways in which God is trying to wake people up. And we are the Christians who are partners with God in trying to share the message with them. We know in our own lives, have you ever said something and made a lie about it? And then somebody asks you a question, then you got to do another lie to cover that lie. And before you know it, you're really in a problem. That's why I like watching jail, because rarely does someone come in and say, yep, I did it. I need to go to jail. No, they always have an excuse. That's part of how the law works on you. You got to defend yourself. You're defending the indefensible. We Christians need to be aware of that so that when people are going through depression or tough times, we can help by revealing to them that God is permitting this to happen to wake them up to their particular condition in need of a Savior. As I said, there's no difference between Christians and unbelievers in regard to sin. We all sin by thought, word, and deed. We can't help ourselves, because we still have an old Adam, even after the Christian comes to faith. And this is why I found it interesting, when talking to Mormons, you start talking about things they've never heard. Because as the speaker was saying this morning on Bates' program, frankly, they believe Jesus is a good role model to follow. He's a good example. He shows us the way. But then Mormons are really afraid that they may not be meeting the way. And therefore, when they hear about this substitute, the speaker said it takes about 8 meetings with a Mormon missionary. And we pray that therefore that they become Christians. I know Concordia Publishing House has some excellent books on how to witness to Mormons. And guess what? I know at least one of them is written by a former Mormon who was caught up in this work righteousness, who didn't realize Jesus as Savior, but rather as an example. The Mormons, of course, have four books they look at, not just the Bible, but the Book of Mormon and two others. And that's where they get their theology from. In fact, very few Mormons actually read the Bible. He was saying he was on a plane coming out of Utah, I believe, and there were a large number of Mormon missionaries going to their destination. And what were they reading? Not the Bible, but the Book of Mormon. I believe unbelievers really don't understand what the Bible has to say. And therefore, when you have a friend or a relative or a neighbor who's really becoming depressed because of the sin that they're living in, this is a door open for you to share with them, after you've listened to them, as to what is going on, how you too could be in their situation were it not for Jesus Christ. How he has redeemed you totally from your sin. Heaven is your home. And he even gives you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that ability to overcome some of your immorality. Never all of it until Judgment Day, because the old Adam is still with us. Law and gospel, it's important to understand that, because it deals not just for Christians, but it is a good understanding to have as we deal with those who are still unbelievers. I'm Tom Baker. You want to talk to me about consequences of sin? We do have Open Mic Friday where you can call in or email me at lawandgospel@lawandgospel101.com. Tomorrow with Wes Reimnitz as we ruminate on something that will be of interest to you. Till then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.